Good morning.
Vicky, they had to go to a funeral this weekend out of town, and I said, hey, don't worry about it. Somebody can read it. Like, it's no big deal. And she said, I have practiced this. I have memorized this. I am doing this. And who am I to say no to that, you know? I'm going to say no to the script, the Word of God. Well, my name's T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here. And when I was a youth pastor, I went to a youth pastor's retreat in Colorado. And we went to the top of Pikes Peak, just outside Colorado Springs. Pikes Peak is 14,115 feet above sea level. For context, presently, we are right at 1,000. And the air was so thin, you have to take a moment to get used to it so you don't get dizzy. And I went in the wintertime, and it was ridiculously cold at the top. And at the time, I did not appreciate it. And today, I'm really, really wishing I had that back. And on the way back down, during the peak season when it's hot, there's a place where they do a brake check. And the road is so steep, they want to make sure that people haven't ridden their brakes all the way down the mountain, and then they lose their brakes for the rest of the trip. And so if their brakes are too hot, they won't make it. So there's authority, about halfway down, there are some authorities there that take a laser temperature of your brakes to see if they're hot, see whether they have the chances of making it. And if your brakes are too hot, you have to sit on the side of the road in a spot they have designated for half an hour to let your brakes cool. And everyone thinks that their brakes are fine when they get to that point. But you'd be surprised how many people are pulled over to the side to let their brakes cool. They're saved from a catastrophe by having their brakes checked. If I asked you if you had faith, I have decent confidence that everyone in this room would answer yes, we think we have faith, but it's important for God to do a check, to make sure you have saving faith, make sure that you really have faith. Do you have a faith that's acceptable to God? That is the question that James is bringing to us today. It's not enough just to think we have faith. We have to test it to determine if we have valid saving faith. And James begins his theory in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Now, this may appear to be tough to digest if you're holding on to Paul's theology, Paul's statement in Romans, where he says, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." And in reality, they're complementing each other, not contradicting each other. When we examine the statements made by both of them, we need to see in context that James and Paul have arrived at the same point from different perspectives. They say the same thing with a different emphasis. For example, Paul spoke his words. He's referring to the works of the law, like observing the Sabbath and sacrificing animals. When James speaks of work, he's talking about the fruit of our faith, the obedience that is produced out of love. Paul's hitting hard at men and women who try to be saved by keeping the law instead of trusting Jesus alone for salvation. James, on the other hand, is concerned that people are more confused with intellectual agreement than with true saving faith that produces fruit. James presents a person who claims to have faith, and the question is, does he really? This person has faith, but he doesn't have any activity corresponding to the faith, and James asks a very important question: can that faith save him? Can this kind of faith be saving faith? James uses four examples to answer the question: can faith without corresponding activity truly be considered saving faith? Example number one, faith without works is dead. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? And also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The first example, James uses an illustration where a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food. And it's worth pointing out that the scriptures describe this situation as true need. People in poverty and people in true need are those who lack clothing, who lack food. This brother or sister is in true need, and we have those people in the kingdom right now. I was told this week that Operation Shoebox, in those boxes, we need to give bowls because people are having to put holes in the ground to hold their food because they don't have bowls. Those are the people who are going to be getting the boxes. And in James's scenario, rather than doing something about that, one of us just says, be warmed and filled. And James asks a really important question. What good is that? This is an example of empty, worthless faith. Verbal statements alone are not faith. Only speaking words is not faith. And James makes the point that you can say whatever you like, but that's not faith. It's important for us to understand today. You can say that you love Jesus all you want to, but your words are not faith. James says that real faith leads to action. Real faith doesn't merely say some words. James concludes the first case with the point that faith without action is dead. Faith that doesn't lead to action is of no benefit. That kind of faith isn't saving faith. That's dead faith. How many of us have this kind of false faith? We say all the right things possible, but we don't do a thing. We don't lift a finger to show our faith. We look like good, faithful Christians by the words that we say, but our lack of action shows something completely different. What are we doing that shows we have saving faith? What can we point to in our lives that reveals the faith that God commands? False faith offers no service to others. The second example that James gives is that faith alone is useless. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? James establishes a second example to answer the question if faith without activity can save. One person says, I have faith. Another person says, I have works. But here's the challenge. Show me your faith apart from your works. Show your faith with any activity. How can anyone know that you have faith if you don't act on it, if you don't show it? I'll show you my faith by my actions. Faith is proved by a way of life. Do you think of faith in these terms? When you think about your faith, do you think about showing your faith to the world? Faith is something that can be seen. If faith can't be seen, that's not the saving faith that God has called us to. James proves his point with an observation about demons. You believe there's a God? Good job. Guess what? So do the demons. The demons believe there's one God also. Even demons have proper beliefs, at least some proper beliefs. Even demons believe some of the same doctrines about God, and James points out the foolishness of a faith that doesn't act because even the demons believe and shudder. Their belief at least causes them to shudder. What does your belief cause you to do? James points out how foolish it is to think that belief alone is some sort of saving value. James calls us foolish people if we think that faith without activity is useful. It's not useful to others. It's not useful to God. I think it is fair to say that there are millions of people that have a useless faith. How many people believe that Jesus is the Son of God and do nothing about it? Do nothing with that belief. How many people believe there's only one God but do nothing with that belief? A vast majority of this country claims to be Christian. They believe in God, they believe in Jesus, but that faith does nothing to bring eternal life to the soul. It's dead faith. And the same is true for all of us. If your faith consists of sitting in this church building once a week, twice a week, and that's it, you have dead faith. You have useless faith. You don't have the real faith that God is asking from you. You don't have the faith that your belief gets you out of this building and shows your faith outside to the people who need to see it. That faith doesn't save. Example number 3, Abraham was justified by his works. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. The third example that's presented is Abraham. Did Abraham have actions behind his faith? Absolutely he did. He showed his faith through the activity of offering his son Isaac on the altar. If you don't know this story, please read Genesis 22. It is an amazing recording of Abraham's faith. And to simplify the story, Abraham's told to offer his one and only son to God. The son that God told him would spawn generations, more descendants than the stars. Of course, the command makes no sense. But Abraham obeys the command without question and without hesitation. And as Abraham is about to kill his son to offer him up on the altar, God, through an angel of the Lord, stops him. Tells him not to kill his son. Abraham's faith is revealed through his actions. He's willing to offer Isaac, believing that God has the power to raise the dead. Therefore, he didn't simply believe it. He acted. He obeyed. Abraham is an example of faith that saves. Abraham's faith is contrasted with the person who has faith apart from activity. Abraham was not saved apart from activity. Look at verse 22 again. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Faith must be active. Faith must be doing something, or it is not faith that saves. Faith is completed by our works. Our faith is carried out and revealed in what we do. Works can't be separated from faith. Activity can't be removed from belief. Faith and works are cooperating together. Not only that, but faith working in Abraham says the scripture was fulfilled. The actions fulfilled the scripture. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's acquitted because he believed God, and that belief acted daily. The description of who Abraham is in this verse gives me chills. And before we filmed Miss Vicky's video, she said, "He was called a friend of God. I want to be called that when I meet him." And I thought, how interesting that I had that same thought when I was studying that this week. What's a better description that God could give us? Friend of God. Faith that works brings us to that point. Saving faith obeys what God commands, no matter how inconvenient, no matter how difficult. Abraham casts a strong light in our dark lives. We often think we have saving faith, but we're unwilling to obey the commands that we find difficult or inconvenient or don't make sense, or we just don't like. That's not the faith of Abraham. James describes saving faith as a very special faith that obeys God. Example number 4 is Rahab, who's justified by works. In the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. The final example James gives us to show faith without action doesn't save is the example of Rahab. Rahab is also justified because her faith caused her to act. If you don't know the story of Rahab, Joshua chapter 2, very interesting. The Israelites needed to scope out the strength of Jericho. So they sent 2 spies in, and those spies were found out. And they were chased, and this woman, Rahab, she hid the spies on her roof. And then she lowered them out a rope, using a rope out of a window that she happened to have on the city wall to get them outside the city. And she did all this, even though doing so was a threat to her own well-being. Her own people wanted to attack her because of it. And she did it because it was the right thing to do. True faith does good to others, just like we talked about last week. Therefore, just as when the spirit leaves the body is dead, so when works leave faith, faith is dead. It's not saving faith, it's dead, useless faith. Now, don't get me wrong, lawyers and judges will tell you the same thing. They can't go to a trial and they can't deal in hearsay. They have to look for evidence. Cold, hard facts. And the key to understanding this part of James is to know, and hear me out here, that is to know that James is not talking about a faith with works. He's talking about a faith that works. Not a faith with works, a faith that works. And our series is called Weekday Christianity, because James is telling Christians to act. He's telling us to get up out of our seats and do something. Be a part of a ministry that helps people. Don't be selfish. Don't have the consumer mindset. Be caring for others. It's not about what the church can do for you. It's not about what the church can do for you. It's not about what ministry will benefit you the most. It's about what ministry you will positively impact with your gifts. God has given you talents. He's given you skills. He's given you strengths. He's given you gifts. And as soon as the Holy Spirit entered your heart, your gifts started to manifest. Use them. Use them how God intended. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, let somebody in our leadership know. We will be happy to pray with you and assess with you and make sure that you're using what God gave you to the fullest. Many, many church members have faith and no works. Some gather to say prayers, recite creeds, talk about faith and positive thinking, but have no ongoing ministries to meet people's needs. Others have works without faith. Their approach to helping people is motivated by social or humanistic values, because society says it's the right thing to do. Biblical Christianity is shown in doing works because your faith says to, not because of societal influences. Again, this is not faith with works. This is faith that works. So Christians, as members here at High Point, as regular attenders, how are you serving? You may have noticed the chairs are gone in the lobby. That's because today we're having a volunteer fair, not a ministry fair, for you to look at ministries and go, that sounds fun, I want to do that. A volunteer fair. There are opportunities in this church for you to serve, to be the hands, to be the feet. And if you want to help support people as they go through tough times, you can help with the grief share ministry or be trained to be a Stephen minister. Maybe you want to be a blessing to our marriage ministry and cook meals when they get together or facilitate groups. There's a marriage ministry table out there. Maybe on Sunday mornings you want to make communion or coffee or be ready, have the chairs ready when people get here, or you want to be a smiling face in the lobby and help make our regular members, our attenders, and our visitors feel welcome. There's a host table out there. Go talk to them. If you want to work with our teens and our kids ministry, that's teaching, that's holding babies, that's playing games, that's getting snacks ready. There's a table out there at the family ministry table. Go sign up. Maybe you want to help with our Senior Connect ministry, driving vans for our wonderful seniors, or help plan events. That's an option for you out there. Our women's ministry works all year round, quilting, crocheting, knitting items for the community and to fill the Operation Christmas Child boxes. Maybe you want to learn to do that. They tried to teach me. I'm a lost cause. But they need material. And they need people to help pack the boxes. The women's ministry is out there and happy. We're doing a women's conference event in October. Maybe you want to help plan that. Maybe you want to help source supplies for our care bags or help with the events and the Hearts for the Homeless ministry. Maybe you want to help make food or teach or help plan our Wednesday night service called The Table. There's a spot out there to sign up for that. Maybe missions are your passion and gifting. And we have potentially two mission trips that we're going on in 2024. I would love to be able to send you info about those. Maybe when someone at our church has a death in the family or a sickness or a birth and you want to help provide food, either cook it or just buy it and deliver it to their house. All those signups are at the mission table. Maybe you have handyman skills. You're willing to help people move or help people get things ready, or people that can't get outside and take care of their property. You want to help them out. Our men's ministry is out there and you can sign up for that. Maybe you want to play an instrument. Maybe you have that gifting, you can sing, or maybe you can write skits or act, or maybe you think that you're the next scoop and you want to jump on that bandwagon. If you think you can help promote our sermon series, or if you want to be part of our Scripture from the Heart ministry, there's a creative team table out there that is waiting on you. Get the information and sign up. As Christians, we're not supplementing our faith by works. We're exercising our faith with works. And here at High Point, there are so many ways to serve, so many ways to be the hands and the feet. James, I do that every week. You know he got it his whole life, right? If you're half brother of Jesus, that's a terrible. James challenges Jewish Christians who had turned away from legalistic law-keeping in Judaism and had turned to a skewed form of Christianity. They sought salvation by faith, and it meant that they didn't have to obey God's words at all. And James is teaching that true faith challenges believers in such a way that repenting of sin and doing good works will always be progressive components to their life. Ezekiel's prophecy about God's work in a believer's salvation in Jesus is this: "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." The reason true believers will obey God's word and practice good works is because in salvation, God radically changes them. He gives them his spirit. They become new creations in Christ. The old has died and the new has come. God removes their stony hearts, breaking the power of their sinful nature, and he gives them a new heart, a new nature that wants to obey his word. By his spirit, he works in them to obey his statutes. Sanctification is a process. It doesn't happen all at once, but it begins at conversion. And when a person receives the Holy Spirit begins to make them holy. And the fruit of the Spirit will be evident to some extent in a true believer's life. As the band comes up, I want to read Matthew 7. "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Figs from thistles? So every tree bears good fruit. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, and the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." When we dismiss today, there will be people manning these tables. And there is an opportunity for each and every one of you to serve in our church. Please go sign up. Our salvation is not ineffective salvation that doesn't radically change us. It affects every aspect of our person. And the fruits will be progressively present. So High Point, where is your fruit? Serve the kingdom. We are giving you the opportunities. Go and be the Christians that have faith that works.